Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
About whether or not it financially made sense for the Royals. You and I both agree makes sense to keep the rotation together. What does this mean for Brady Singer? I mean, it certainly renegotiates. It reopens the thing that people have been guessing for a full year, which is Brady Singer trade candidate in the offseason. I actually think the only thing it eliminated is an extension. I think they could just play out the arbitration years and just let Brady Singer be a starter here, making no money for all those years. I think that they could trade him and acquire assets like a leadoff hitter or a corner outfielder. But I just don't think he's getting an extension anymore. They've committed their dollars elsewhere.
Yeah, part of the reason why I like bringing Walker back is you have just about every single option, you know, out there still for Brady Singer. If you choose to bring him back and not move on from him, and again, a reminder, he is under contract, so it's not even bring him back. Just if you just continue to go status quo, I should say, with Brady Singer, great. He's your fourth starter heading into the season. There were flashes again last year of why you were excited about Brady Singer. Why not? You know, and he, to me, still would also give you flexibility in season. You know, if the season goes the way you hope it goes, this doesn't happen. But if the season ends up not going the way you want, he's also a guy mid-season next year that you would have some flexibility to maybe look. I think if they were to trade him at all this offseason, to me, he wouldn't be a solo trade. He would be packaged together with a player or two that could then bring back a corner outfielder or a leadoff hitter.
A middle-of-the-order guy.
Something like that. But I that's the Michael Walker deal just gives you so much flexibility. I love this because now it doesn't eliminate. If they didn't bring back Walker, then we'd be saying, well, no, they have to keep Brady Singer. Like, have to, because otherwise you're going to get really thin with your rotation. But as John Morosi said, you look at their rotation of Reagans and Lugo and Walker and Singer, and certainly the first three names mentioned there, but I'll include Singer in that. What other team, certainly in the AL, and I know not in the AL Central, has a 1-4 like that? It's kind of what we said this year. Why they were dangerous if they got to the playoffs. And in the Orioles series, we saw the pitching and why it was exactly what we were expecting. They didn't have any offense in the Orioles series. Didn't matter because the starting pitching and bullpen also turned out to be great. I don't know about you guys. I'm excited about the bullpen heading into next season, too. That's the difference. There were some guys that flashed at the end of last season that really helped the bullpen. Let's not forget Hunter Harvey. I know we were disappointed this year. I still think he's going to be a big factor in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be a part of the core end of the back end of the rotation, which now could be Bubich and Lynch and Urseg and Harvey, and you know, like, they've got some, and you know, they've got some pieces that they like. I think my play, if you said, hey, what do you want to do with Singer, and we'll ask Vern here in a minute because I'm curious, I'd hold him hostage. This is one of the few times in baseball where you do not have to act quick, and as I told you before, I still think they need years on pitching development. They have Brady Singer under control for 3 more seasons. He's not a free agent until after 2027. So he has tremendous value in the open market. I'll just tell you that. Because teams will look at a career 4 earned run average coming off a 3.71 season and a career high in starts, innings, strikeouts, and every other metric you possibly want to imagine at 27 years old when pitchers peak all the time, 27, 28, 29, 30, of 3 years of team control. He is an incredible asset if you want to move him, but you could just move him next year. Keep the rotation together. Keep the roster together. Prove that you can make a playoff in a back-to-back season where you got a generational superstar in Bobby Wood Jr., who just won a gold glove last night to go with his 30-30-30 season that he already put in the books. Run it back one more season, and then when the arbitration number jumps up again, then make your decision. For this year, I'm holding on to Singer. He's just going to have to make the arbitration number of $4, $5, $6 million, and we all live our life. You get a raise. We're happy you're still here. The only hesitation I have is versus the other guys. We just mentioned Waka. Does Singer ever seem like he wanted to stay here forever? Do you ever get that energy from him? I can't ever tell with him.
In baseball, in baseball, that is not something, especially in Kansas City, that I think
never sure
is in play as much. Like, look, Michael Waka was re-signing with Kansas City. because, one, the money is right, but also he loved his time in Kansas City, as we said. That's why Walker's back. His family liked Kansas City. That's why it made sense for him to re-sign with the Royals. Yeah. But in general, in terms of homegrown guys and retaining, usually with the Royals, it never comes down to like wanting to stay here. It usually with homegrown guys is the money.
Yeah,
and whether or not you can signability, essentially, re-signability is the question. So I don't think so. I mean, I know that's always been brought up, like, with Brady, that to me, when you have as much control as they have, that doesn't really matter. Like if you don't want to be here for 3 or 4 more years, then like, what are you going to do in baseball? You don't like see for a player of his stature. There's no like request a trade. That's the stuff we worry about. If you're a Juan Soto type, is like, does he want to be a Yankee still or not? Someone's going to give him $600 million this offseason.
You want to be here or no?
You know, and that, it's a little bit different where like he better want to be in said market or whatever.
Yeah. There's never a hometown discount. I guess it's just like his commitment to his problem is that he spent 4 years in Kansas City where they were a loser. They traded away his best friend. Let's be honest, you know, like in Whit Merrifield. And this is an organization that his net didn't fully commit to him as a starter a couple of different times, right? Where they were like, they made him a starter, but they're like, bullpen, maybe not. We'll see. They wavered, not a ton, but they wavered a little on him. I just think it makes sense. 3 more years, he's still valuable. 2 years of control next year. He's still valuable to all these teams a year from now. Why am I selling now? And I get it. You can be like, rob Peter to pay Paul. Screw that. They're good because of their rotation. Stay good because
they are. They are. The only argument, of course, is just if, and we don't know the answer to this because we're not in the room of how much money does JJ Piccolo maybe have to work with this year.
Yeah, we don't know.
Well, generally speaking, though, if the only way to acquire a leadoff bat or to acquire an outfield bat, if you're telling me that the only way to do that, and I don't know,
to not just pay for it on the open market, but
is to package a trade that requires him, then of course I'm open to that. I don't know if that's reality, but if you told me that was a scenario, I could go and actually get a leadoff bat that makes sense, or, you know, corner outfielder, and he has to be involved in a trade to pull that off, I would totally be open to that. I don't think you should flat out say, nope, can't do it. He's not a guy you're like, can't move him. No, that's not where he's at. But also, hey, if I can acquire in other areas, or if that trade doesn't exist, well, then yeah, I have no interest in moving on from if it's not going to equate to something like that.
Is part of the reason you feel that way is because over the last 2 years, the Royals have proven that they are decent at finding pitching again? Like, because that does give me a little more confidence. They're pretty good at it. They've been finding some guys.
At the big league level, they found, you know, at the pro level, they've been great in scouting that. The question will be long-term development in the minors, but they have done a really nice job, whether it's bullpen acquisition via trade. We all know about Cole Reagans, of course, as well. They've done a great job of evaluating other big league clubs, big league talent, if that makes sense. That's where they've thrived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, finding guys who are already established. But, you know, they get credit for Singer. Like, they don't get credit for many because all those guys. And look, sometimes the Bubich, Daniel Lynch's of the world become good bullpen arms, and you get credit for that too. The whole thing is like, by the way, out of those two guys, Bubich should start next year, shouldn't he? I mean, Bubich should be a starter. I saw enough out of Bubich to be like, I'll take one more crack at that one.
I think that depends on A, are they going outside the organization and getting another free agent, or what's Kyle Wright look like? It's remember, he's coming right off of an injury just like Bubich. Is it the reverse where Bubich is in the rotation? Kyle Wright's the guy that ends up helping them more in the bullpen. I don't know. We're going to have to wait till spring till they get to that. We'll ask Vern this question. Vern, I'm told, is going to join us in studio too. So we'll get an in studio Vern in the offseason.
Josh Vern.
It's too early to call it hot stove, right? But I kind of, you know, it's colder outside. It's rainy. We already, you know,
warm
moved
stuff.
The clocks back, which sucked, by the way. Dark at 5:05. Ugh. So it might as well be hot stove.
You get a little seasonal depression disorder?
I just don't like it, man. Yeah, it sucks being dark at 5.
Depression.
Now, for you and I, at least, we're off at 2. So it's not like we're going home and it's dark. For some of you, a lot of you, a majority of you, I should say, you're driving home in the dark. That sucks. That just sucks. So yes, I don't like it. Spring forward.
My whole thing is
just get rid of it.
Stuff.
Can we just get rid of the daylight saving? We don't need it. Get rid of it. I guess now we're on the We're now on the normal time.
Yesterday,
isn't that right?
At 7 p.m., it felt like it might have all been 10 o'clock.
Oh yeah, could have gone to bed at 8 o'clock last night.
Yeah,
totally could have gone to bed at 8 o'clock last night.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.